Welcome to Off the Shelf,
the Second Life radio show and podcast about books and the people who love them.
I'm Kigia Girardi.
And this is Simeon Beresford.
Join us as we survey the literary scene in our virtual world. Welcome to Off the Shelf. You may not have heard our last episode featuring writers Mark Eller and Glenn Manuel. It wasn't your fault. We had a few technical difficulties.
And we're still having them. Nonetheless, we'll have both authors back on the show. In fact, Mark Eller has kindly agreed to be interviewed again today.
Mark is being very kind to us new podcasters, and he's also being very kind to you fans. He's giving away a signed copy of his new book, Traitor. We will talk more about that later, but if you'd like to register to win a copy, you can drop a note card with your name in it at the Bookstacks pub.
We felt guilty about getting Glenn Manuel up in his PJs again so soon, but look for him doing a reading at Bookstacks at a more suitable time for Australians. We were lucky enough to get author Mark Wortham. Mark is a horror and science fiction writer who's been nominated. Oh, no, he hasn't been nominated. He was longlisted for a Stoker Award. Welcome to Off the Shelf, Mark.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Talking of author readings, you had your first one in Second Life this week. How did it go?
Well, both very well and not so well. Once it got started, it was great. I had a great time. But I logged on Thursday, and of course, I'd never had problems logging on Second Life, and I've learned in Second Life never to say never. So, of course, I was... It took me about 5 full minutes to log on. By the time I got there, my voice wasn't working. And then by the time I re-logged, something else wasn't working. And make a long story short, I was a full half an hour late. But by the time we got started, everybody seemed happy. And I had a great time, too. So,
yeah. So you plan to do it again?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I've got a reading in Milkwood coming up sometime to be announced next month. Probably sometime in late May, early June.
Did Lukos recruit you for that? I know he's doing the recruiting lately.
Yeah, he did, actually.
Your short stories have been published in multiple places, it says here. 2 anthologies, Thicker Than Water and Thinner Than Mist. And it was Those Eyes from Thinner Than Mist that was long listed for the Stoker Award. Could you tell us something about these stories?
Well, I've got a lot of different kinds of stories, as any author will probably tell you. These Eyes was a piece that I've been working on literally since the 90s. I wrote it, and I read it, and it didn't seem to come together, so I read it again and workshopped it again. Long story short, very short, it took me about 10 years to put it together the way I wanted, and I was happy with the result.
Just don't start on War and Peace if that's what a short story takes. I noticed that a lot of your work gets the same people keep being published with you. J.P. Edwards was one of the names that sprang to mind. Is he an old friend? Do you work together a lot?
J.P. and I go way back. We go back to about 1998, and J.P. and I have done several short stories. As a matter of fact, we're working on a short story collection, which I will announce later. And the collection will be Why Is It That Only People in Trailer Parks See UFOs? But we also work on screenplays together. We're working on our third screenplay as we speak. We finished one last week. And those are being shopped around. And the screenplay we're working on has actually been requested. Somebody wants to see it, so I'm excited.
Oh, yes. So you were responsible for counting the votes for the Stoker Award. Were you tempted to cheat?
I suppose that temptation goes through everybody's mind. At this point, it's interesting because I had a little practice with that because I'm the Stoker chair and I have a co-chair, or he would probably say he has a co-chair. But he was long listed for one last year, and I took his example because he kind of recused himself from the vote counting. So I recused myself from the vote counting this time too, and so nobody could say, "Hey, you cheated."
Except Simeon.
Yeah, it meant you didn't have to do any of the work. Actually, I see you do a lot for the Stoker Awards. You've got the President's Award for Service. Is it all convention orientated, or is everything online nowadays?
Yes, I do a lot of online stuff. As a matter of fact, for the Horror Writers Association, I am the webmaster, and but I do a lot of work for the Stokers too, and we end up doing a lot of online work. There's a lot more work that you could possibly imagine behind the Stoker Awards, getting the awards, getting them in the right place, getting the name plates printed and such, and counting whoever's been nominated for award and counting whoever's been long listed, and then there's an even longer list, the recommendations, and I have to keep track of the recommendations and on and on and on and on and on. But I have to end up at the conventions too, and so I'm half online and half at conventions. So anytime I go to a convention, I put my real name, Mark Worthen, on top, and then I'll put Night Wander underneath, just so people know. Also, one more thing: JP and I will be running the pitch sessions at this coming Stoker weekend. So we will be the ones behind the hooking up people with people pitching their books to certain editors and screenwriters, and that's coming up in June.
Where's that being held at?
That is going to be at in Burbank, Los Angeles, in the middle of June. June, I think it's the weekend of June 16th. Pardon me, the weekend of June 12th to 14th. I've been corrected.
That yes, Cave ran into a bunch of romance writers practicing their pitches the other day. We were going to invite them on, so I'm glad you
Awesome.
reminded me. So do you only, I was going to ask if you only wrote short stories, but you've done other things, haven't you?
Oh, actually, yeah, I've done a lot of short stories, but I just finished my second novel on March 31st, and I'm very excited about that too. I've got an author waiting, or an editor, an author, an editor waiting to see it, and so it's I'm very excited. I'm hoping this is the year of Mark Worthen.
Could you tell me something about Nick and Lizette?
Nick and Lisette, as a matter of fact, my second novel is about them. They are my two the two characters that I keep coming back to. They were invented in 1980 something. And Nick is an ex-university professor biker who rolls around the country, and all of a sudden one day he runs into this vampire named Lisette, and his world turns upside down. And through the short stories, they go solving difficulties and having adventures. And about the book is about their fourth week together, and they will be running up against something that they may not be able to stand against. So hopefully my readers will see how that happens.
Don't give too much away.
No, never.
You're a relative newcomer to Second Life, but you seem to found the writing community, Milkwood, very quickly. Did you come to Second Life looking for writers?
Yes and no. I came to Second Life trying to figure out what all the fuss was about because I'd seen it featured on CSI and a couple of other programs, and I thought, okay, well, let's check this out. But of course, I always go back to writing, and so the first community I found was the Story Mountain community, and then I found the Bookstacks community, and then I found, I think the third group I joined was the Written Word, and then I end up at Bookstacks, and there's several others, and the ones that I The ones that the people that I made friends with also happened to be in Milkwood, and so I gravitated toward them pretty quickly. Yeah, so I didn't come on with that intention, but that's basically what where it ended up.
Well, thank you, Mark. We're going to take a musical break now.
Thank you.
That was The Road to Garrison by Maurice Lennon, performed by Tipsy House.
And I don't remember it being that long. Before Kadir interviews Mark Eller, I thought I'd give you an update on England's first poet laureate. Carol Ann Duffy was named to the post, the first Scot to be awarded the position.
Bravo to Miss Duffy, who was also the first woman in that position. Now I'm going to have to check out some of her work.
This week, we bid farewell to our producer and sponsor, Zinoxi Han. Her real life has got in the way of the commitments to this show.
It was Zinoxi who got us started on this, and we'll be continuing even without her.
Yeah, thanks a bundle, Zinoxi.
But now I want to take this opportunity to interview Mark Eller. Mark, we must stop meeting this way. People will talk.
Well, that's all right. Let them talk. What's between us, meeting this way, is just between us and a few thousand other people. Nobody else will know.
It's your handsomeness. It draws me back every time. The scales, the tail, all of
Thank you. Thank you very much. I know I'm beautiful. Women are drawn to scaly, short, fat men with, large feet and spikes sticking out of their heads. So I feel good about this.
Once Hollywood figures that out, we're in trouble. So we'll never get you back on the show again. But the
Yes.
last time we didn't talk much about your podcasting background, but I'd like to know a little bit more about Gods of War and Mercy Bend. Why did you decide to put them up in podcast form?
Well, actually, I had been trying to push Traitor several years earlier and got nowhere with it. Then my wife became ill, and I quit writing. I quit trying to get published. I quit everything for several years. And then my wife got tired of me hoovering over her, and she kicked me in the behind, beat me over the head, and said, start doing what you enjoy doing. And since I had so little luck in attracting publishers, attracting agents, or anything else, I thought, well, what if I start podcasting and then I can approach them and say, look, I have this many thousand downloads of this. Somebody must like it. Will you please take a look at it? Because before then, everything was just, the standard rejection slip that said, we have too many entries, so we're not really looking at it, which, is fine. That's part of the game. So I decided to start podcasting so I could show all this to an agent and to a publisher. Of course, before I actually released the podcast, a Trader was actually accepted for publication by Swimming Kangaroo Books, but by that time I had already put out the money for the podcasting, so I did it anyway.
Excellent. And you really use the internet to create a good fan base for yourself, I think. But your podcasts have evolved over time, haven't they?
They've changed quite a bit. God Wars, which is actually showing at the podcast, The Hellhole Tavern. God Wars, I decided to do a little skit before and after. And I wrote God Wars with my partner, Elizabeth Draper. And so in God Wars, I am playing the character of Baron von Smelterhofen, who is 3 feet tall, 540, 560 pounds. He's created by the tavern's need and the lizard's want. And I'm so fat that when I walk, my butt drags on the ground, and my partner, the lizard, has to dig the pebbles and wood chips and stuff out of my behind with her claws. We have a tendency to eat tourists if they're not wearing an amulet of protection, and we're stuck in the tavern by the Ministry of Tourism and forced to tell stories to people to keep them entertained. And Mercy Bend,
You're Scheherazade.
in Mercy Bend, I'm doing that one by myself, and that's really scattershot. I wanted to put out some of my older short stories, many of which had been previously published, and so I started releasing them underneath the Mercy Bend motif. I changed them around a little bit so they would fit. They're not following any particular timeline because even though I originally intended to only have 10 or 12 stories in there, I'm now up to 20 some. I keep writing new ones. And Mercy Bend is basically psychological and physical horror fiction because people started naming me a horror writer, and I thought, well, I might as well write horror since that seems to be where a lot of my fiction is ending up.
Definitely have a draw there. And you've also been playing with the technology in your podcast, haven't you?
Yes, I have. Lately on Mercy Bend, I decided to experiment with background music and sound effects, adding that and playing with the mixer on the intro, which the intro is basically right now kind of disappearing because it's a lot of work and I have so many other projects going in hand right now that the intro had to disappear. I'm starting another podcast of my book, Traitor, which has just begun, and I'm also starting my own blog talk radio show called Chronicles, which will be airing its first episode next week.
I make sure I include all those links on our show notes on the website so people can check you out. You do have a new book coming out called Traitor. Why don't you tell people a little bit about it and how it came to be published?
Well, first of all, Traitor is not new. It's now 2 weeks old. It's been out for 2 weeks.
Yay!
I don't know if I've actually sold a copy yet, but it has been out for 2 weeks. It was named last week as one of the top 20 reads for 2009 by Conversations Book Club. And
so someone's read it.
Someone has read it. And it's the people that have read it and gotten back to me have told me it's a really good book. My publisher recently put it up for the other authors of Swimming Kangaroo to read and said she was reluctant to put it up there because it would leave them wanting for the second book that I'm working on right now. And she said it had a scene in there that is more emotionally I don't know. Anyways, it's a very emotional scene, more so than anything she's read in science fiction since the Enterprise blew up in the search for Spock, which I thought was pretty good. And
that's a nice comparison.
It is, and I've received a couple other good comments about it. Cyrus Webb from the Right Stuff reality TV show and Conversations Live obviously liked it because he said some nice things about it. Recently, Greg Kreitz got hold of me. He read it. I sent him a copy to have him push it. He read it in 2 days and said that I had obviously spent a lot of time on the world and he liked what I did with the character of Aaron Turner in there. So apparently I wrote a good book, which is, you know, nice to know because the only people who I've actually gotten any feedback from before were people who are connected to me and so, you know, are not objective.
Yes. You're very pleased, I can tell. And you've got so much more to say about it now that it's got into the shops. Or the internet, whichever.
Yes.
Well, you mentioned that, this is the first book of your trilogy, and you mentioned that you're working on the second one. Are we going to see more of Aaron?
Yeah, actually, there's a 4-book series, and the series takes place over about 15, 16 years. And Aaron Turner is basically a fairly screwed up guy who is able to teleport between two worlds. In one world, he's a militia member who happens to be small and crippled. In the other world, the crippledness disappears for reasons which are explained in the book and later on in the book. And he runs a general store in a small town called Last Chance, which has a technology somewhere between 1800 and 1400, depending on which areas of the technology you're looking at. It's an iron-poor world where silver is the expensive metal, gold is fairly common, and everybody has a talent or magical ability, but very few people are actually able to tap into it without a thing called a talent stone. And Aaron is the forefront of a militia takeover of this town in the world. The militia wants to move in with its high technology and with the help of other militias and come in and build itself an empire and run the empire according to the lights of how they see the world should be run. And Aaron, once again, is the forefront of it, but he's having problems with his loyalty. He's questioning the militia upbringing that he's had. The militia has raised him since he was 10, but now he's 24 years old, and He's lived in Last Chance for a year now, and he's experienced life from other perspectives, and he's starting to fall in love with women and experience romance and build friendships and build trust with people, and all of a sudden he's a torn person. So
wow. That sounds like it's very complex. And you wrote this originally how long ago?
About 10 years ago, originally.
Okay,
so,
and you've been making a lot of revisions to it then, haven't you?
It has been rewritten and revised 4 or 5 different times before it actually was submitted to the publisher, who accepted it. And it's been, through the editing process, had a lot more rewriting done to it, but that's pretty normal. I'm going through the same process with the second book right now in the series. I actually have a promo I could play for you if you desire, which I created for the book.
Sure.
Yeah.
Love to hear it.
All right. Let me see if I can get it going. Oh, wait a minute. Recording magic music. You know what? It disappeared. Never mind.
Well,
technology difficulties.
Well, disappeared. The words disappeared out of it.
We had that problem last week.
It's you. I've decided it's you.
Oh, well.
We have to laugh at ourselves.
Such is life. It's a good minute and a half promo. It's gone.
Whoops.
I had words for a while, and then the rest disappeared.
We've got time to talk about The Right Stuff, which is another big project you're working on.
I love The Right Stuff because they love me, but I mostly love the idea behind it. The Right Stuff is the first literary reality TV show, and it's featuring 14 writers who are vying for a book contract and a marketing campaign and computer and a bunch of other stuff. And I originally contacted Cyrus Webb, the host of The Right Stuff, because he was reviewing my book, Traitor. And then I found out he was doing the literary show, so I contacted him, said, look, this is outside of Traitor. I really don't care if you like Traitor or dislike it, pan it. Either way, I would like to support this show. I'm a podcaster. I have this many listeners. I would like to contact other podcasters and see what we can do about passing the word along. From there, for me, things really took off. First, I helped him get Scott Sigler, a New York Times best-selling author and also a podcast author, on the show. And then I was named a production assistant on the show. I was then offered the chance to record 8 motivational minutes that were going to be played before the competitions on the show. I helped judge one of the competitions that winnowed the contestants down to 14. I then was offered the chance to get a plane ticket and come down and be part of the final wrap-up episode, which has not taken place yet. I was given a 1-year marketing agreement where Shadowplay Entertainment will market my book for a year for free, which is pretty cool, saying that Cyrus actually really likes the book, which I think is pretty great. And then The Right Stuff is coming up to Flint, Michigan, where I live, to have a pre-release literary party. We'll all be a special guest and do a book signing, which is a heck of a lot for just coming in and saying, I like the show, I'd like to help promote it, and then contacting some people. Cyrus has been very good to me.
Mark, you had mentioned when we talked at another time that you actually identified with the contestants a lot because you're going through the same experiences yourself with your first published book.
Oh, yes. Yes, I did. When I first started writing, first started pursuing publication, I thought it was going to be pretty simple. You write the book, you send it out, you go through the rejection process, then somebody reads it, they fall instantly in love with it, and your book gets published after going through a brief editing process. Which is all partly true, except the brief editing process isn't quite that brief. The part that I didn't count on is that writing the book is only the beginning of what you're doing. The marketing yourself, going out doing the interviews, marketing yourself, marketing your book, making contacts with people, learning how to make contacts with people, learning how to use the internet to contact different groups, to get yourself out there, to get known. In today's world, there are so many books being sold online compared to the number that used to be, and the numbers are growing greater and greater all the time, that even established writers have to go through these motions now with their new releases. A friend of mine, Michael Stackpole, has written 40 books, and he's, in the gaming industry. He's had small parts in a couple of movies. He's written Star Wars books, and he still has to promote himself. Well, it's even more so for people who are at the beginning of their careers. I'm 50 years old, at the beginning of my career, and I am putting in more time and effort into this marketing thing than I have spent writing the actual book, which is fun because, I'm finding this fun, I'm finding entertaining, I'm finding a learning experience and a way to grow. So I'm having a good time with it.
Good. Well, I've got one last question for you, and it's an easy one. What are you reading at the moment that isn't the book you're editing?
What am I reading at the moment? Well, I'm not reading it yet, but I'm about to read The Last Prince of the Mexican Empire by C.M. Mayo. I was shipped this by IJustFinished.com to review. I'm also a book reviewer, among other things, and I was just shipped the book, and it actually so far looks pretty interesting.
Excellent. So we'll mention that one too. So if anybody wants to check it out, they can.
Sure.
Thank you, Mark. It has been an absolute pleasure talking to you again, especially since you were here just 2 weeks ago.
Hey, we'll do this every 2 weeks.
Well,
Whether
that's
we're on
the
the show
show.
or not.
Yeah, that's the show. Don't forget to drop your note cards off so you can have a chance at Mark's new book. There's a few scattered around the place, one in the pub, one up here if anyone's bothered to turn up. Let's head off.
Off the Shelf is produced for Radio Reel by Kegia Gerardi and Simeon Beresford. Technical production is by Radio Reel. You can find Radio Reel on the web at radioreel.org. Music on this program includes works by artists on the Magnatune label. The music in the general introduction is John Playford's All in a Garden Green by Eileen Hadidian and Natalie Cox from their album Dolce Musica, A Contemplative Journey. The off-the-shelf theme music is 1500 Tons by Burning Babylon from the album Stereo Mashup. And we bid you goodbye with this piece, Hagagasan 14 by Eternal Jazz Project from their album Gratis Jazz. You can learn more about Magnatune and their artists on their website at magnatune.com. Off the Shelf is licensed under Creative Commons.